Blog Talk Radio. welcome in. Fastest 16 in sports, yours truly, Vinny Moore. On the day, see, we used to say on the wheels back in the days when it was turntables and vinyl. Can't say that anymore. It's an electronic world, but it's a wonderful day to be here with you. Sunday, a bit of a dark black cloud over the day after the outcome of the George Zimmerman trial yesterday. Reaction from all over the world, a sad day in history, an atrocity, depending on which side you land on, you know, people vilifying the women that were on part of the jury as if they'd somehow done something wrong. Whether you're on the side of the acquittal or on the side of the atrocity, there is no justice in a situation where a life is lost. And there's no fallout, nothing comes. So we have to worry about what the host of the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports had to say. I'll tell you right now, this is bad. I am somewhat of an Al Sharpton fan in terms of Al's perspective on a few things, and I listened to his reaction, and I think the best reaction probably came from Dwayne Wade in that, what do you tell your kids? What do you honestly, truly tell your kids these days? Do you tell them that they have to be cautious with what they wear? They can't wear hoodies in certain neighborhoods now because, you know, people are just so paranoid and so fearful of what that represents. I won't take up too much time on this because it actually hurts my heart to even have this conversation. To think that somewhere along the line, whether the guy was licensed to have a concealed weapon or not, that's my take on it, and I really don't want to talk about it because I'm just going to get salt again, and I've been salt enough for the last few hours. I could probably salt several rolls of pretzels. Anyway, the world of sports is up in arms and crazy, not only with reaction to the Zimmerman trial, but with just baseball right now, you've got Cubs and Cardinals and Middle Earth going at it, one of the oldest rivalries in history. That will all conclude tonight. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball with Adam Wainwright up against Travis Wood tonight. Cubs looking to take 3 out of 4 in that series, which, again, may be a justifiable reason for why the Cubs won't trade Matt Garza. And if you think about why, it almost makes sense. You're 42-50. The season is not over. There is justification to what you can be in, say, 30 games. Are you a 500 ball club in 500 games? Are you fighting for a wild card? Is there a reason? Do you have enough? And if you get rid of fire sale Matt Garza, which you probably need to do just because of what he'll bring back to you for the long term, have you really truly accomplished the goal? Let's take a look at the better teams in baseball and kind of see. Yeah, we're starting with baseball, if you haven't noticed. Boston is 58-30, 20 games above 500, all right? And chances are that team is probably going to make the playoffs if they're playing really solid baseball right now, followed by Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and uniquely enough, in fourth place, the Yankees. The Yankees are 8 games over 500, but they're 6 games out. The sad thing is the best team on paper in the league is in last place. The Toronto Blue Jays are 45-48, 11.5 games out, yet, on paper, one of the best teams in the league. Okay, the American League East, by far, the most talented division in baseball. Cleveland, White Sox have fallen completely off the map, 13 games out of 500. I'm sorry, 13 games back, 17 games under 500. They should definitely be. So I see that Thornton's already been let go. They're definitely sellers at this All-Star break. In the American League West, Oakland 55-39, a one-game lead over the Texas Rangers. Texas has been good for a while now. After the restructuring, the Houston Astros are in that division. 27 games under 500, 33-60, 21.5 games out. Guess who's selling there? I don't know what to do with the Astros. You know, that's a really strong historic franchise with a lot of history, going back to the Killer Bees. And it's just kind of sad to see where that organization, that franchise has kind of gone. It's just sad. Another sad atrocity is even in the National League Central with the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get to that in a minute. The National League East, the Atlanta Braves, 14 games over 554. push here to try to get in the playoffs, either as a wild card or if they luck up and Atlanta falters, get the division. But look what's happened to the Marlins. 35-57, 22 games under 500, 18 games out of any possible contention, even though they've won three straight. So that brings us now to the National League Central. Pittsburgh, 56-36, 20 games above 500. Who saw that coming this year? St. Louis, right there with them, the same record, even though they're struggling with the Chicago Cubs right now. Cincinnati, solid, 52-42. And here come the Cubbies, 42 wins, 50 losses. They're 8 games under 500, 14 games out of contention. Yet they're reluctant to sell, and there's justification as to why, because you're not that far. You were in a restructuring phase. You're supposed to be losing left and right. You're supposed to be 33-60 right now, but you're not. You're 42-50, and you're playing toe-to-toe with arguably a better baseball. Tonight, you have 3 out of 4 against one of the best teams in baseball. If you're Jed Hoyer, the GM, or Theo, again, I forget the last name, forgive me, I apologize. But if you're that general management core, you're looking at this thinking, is this a lost season? When do we get to 70 losses and we finally say we should have done this, we should have done that? Or do you just pull the string and let Matt Garza go in hopes to get a bunch of young talent back for the future? It's not an easy place to be in for those guys right now. I don't envy them at all. To the National League West, Arizona 50-44, 2.5 game lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's really a two-horse race, Colorado, San Francisco, and San Diego. Unless something magical happens, that's a two-team race in that division. Anyway, that's it for your baseball, love. I don't want to harp on it too much. We have some wonderful things from ESPN regarding voting and MVP possibilities for the end of the year. Let's see exactly how did it load. Okay, we got to find that out. We got to find out if it loaded or not. In the meantime, while we get that information to you, let's see. 12 past the hour. We do have that. All right, very good. All right, now, I don't know exactly how this is going to work, guys, so bear with me a second. Worst case scenario, if you don't hear anything in 30 seconds, you'll probably hear a Kit Kat commercial. That's good stuff. All right, let's roll. Let's see what we got.
Hi there, and welcome to Sweet Spot TV. That is your Sweet Spot blogger, Smiling Dave Schoenfield, and I'm Eric Carabell, your senior writer. Today's fun topic, the award winners in Major League Baseball. Who's going to win the awards? And we start with the American League MVP. And is there really any way Miguel Cabrera, the Detroit Tigers, doesn't win MVP again?
I don't think so, Eric. This guy, tremendous year, really putting up better numbers than last year when he won the Triple Crown and trounced Mike Trout in the MVP voting. I don't see any way he doesn't win it. Unless he gets hurt or if somehow the Tigers don't make the playoffs, because the MVP voters do always vote for a guy who's on a playoff team, it's his award to lose. I don't think he loses
it. Now, what if Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles breaks that home run record that Roger Maris had of 61? If Chris Davis hits 62 home runs and bats 320 and knocks in a ton of runs, don't you think Chris Davis will get some attention?
Okay, I'll give you that one. If he hits 62 home runs, continues hitting, 330 or whatever, be pretty hard to deny him that award, although, again, it's important for the Orioles to make the playoffs, although if he hits 62, I think they have a pretty good shot at making the playoffs.
I think they have a pretty good shot. And we should note that, like last year with Mike Trout being the highest in wins above replacement, Manny Machado, Baltimore's third baseman, because of great defense, could have a higher war, will have a higher war than Miguel Cabrera. Not that that matters to a lot of voters.
Well, that's interesting if that debate does come up, and in the end, in the voting, Machado and Davis might sort of cancel each other out or steal votes, and even you might get a three-way split, but Cabrera edges them out. And also, keep an eye on this guy named Mike Trout. Once again, having a pretty great year, might hit 30 home runs, steal 40 bases. The Angels have to start winning and maybe make the playoffs, but he's kind of the long shot in this race.
I've never heard of Mike Trout. Who is this guy?
Look him up.
Let's move to the National League and the MVP. I'm interested to see here because there's no obvious choice like Cabrera or Chris Davis in the American League. Who's your National League choice?
Yeah, National League I think is wide open, in part because the best players have arguably been Carlos Gomez, David Wright, and Carlos Gonzalez, none of whom are playing on a good team, so my favorite is Paul Goldschmidt. I have Arizona winning the division. He's hitting, plays defense, driving in runs. That's kind of the combo that voters love. So he's my favorite right now.
You know what other combo that voters love?
What is that, Eric?
A young power hitter who is brash and has good hair. Bryce Harper is going to win the National League MVP.
Wow.
I don't care that he missed the month with knee problems, that he runs into walls. He's going to carry the Nationals, and not only the National League East, but I think to the pennant. Bryce Harper is going to be the MVP of the National League. You watch.
Okay, I don't agree with you, but it can happen. Remember Josh Hamilton, the year he won the MVP, he missed almost a whole month.
Yeah.
Granted, that was at the end of the season in September. Harper's missed about a month.
But voters love when a guy has a huge second half and
they
carries
do.
His team from a 500 record.
That's a great point.
Like
it's a great point.
That year, I think Bryce Harper is going to have a monster second half, and otherwise Carlos Gonzalez would be my pick. Let's move to the Cy Young Award, starting in the American League. And again, Max Scherzer is having a great season so far, even though he's getting tons of run support. Do you think Scherzer is going to be the Cy Young winner?
All right, you're going to kill me for saying this, but he's going to have that win-loss record. And we know the voters love win-loss record. If the race is otherwise close, and it should be between him and, I think, Felix Hernandez, Scherzer's going to win 20 with that offense. Felix will win about 13. Scherzer will win the Cy Young Award.
You know, unless he's Roger Clemens, because most pitchers that start out this hot, like 13-0, don't do that in the second half. Luck kind of recedes a little bit. Tigers scoring plenty of runs. They may not do that. I think Yu Darvish is going to take it away. Yu Darvish has just as good numbers, except in win-loss record. Texas is a pretty good team, too.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll make it.
Yeah, I mean, he has the strikeouts. The ERA is good.
Strikeouts.
Especially pitching in that park, he might end up with the highest WAR in the league. But, again, I don't know how much attention voters are going to pay attention to pitcher WAR. You know, and Scherzer, I'm with you. The one thing we've got to watch, he's got to throw enough innings. He hasn't been a 200-inning guy, whereas Darvish and Felix might get 220, 230. So that's an edge on their part. We'll see. It's going to be a good race.
Felix has no chance.
No chance.
No chance. Sorry. He's already won his Cy Young Award. He's not winning it again.
Come on, he can do it.
In the National League, who's going to win the Cy Young? My pick is Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. But again, he does not have a flashy one-loss record, but I think that is the team that will win its division. Matt Harvey for you or Adam Wainwright?
Well, Wainwright actually is my choice. He's having a great year. Doesn't walk anybody. He's going to have comparable ERA and innings numbers to Kershaw, but he's going to win more games. Harvey might be the best pitcher, but they're probably going to put an innings limit on him. So he might be shut down after 175 innings, and he's not going to pitch down the stretch. So I think it's a Wainwright-Kershaw race.
I think Kershaw is the best pitcher in the National League, probably in baseball right now, and I think he will win the award. And Yasiel Puig is going to be your top rookie. You watch.
All right, Shelby Miller's pretty good.
All right, I'm done shilling for Bryce Harper. That's Dave Schoenfield, your Sweet Spot blogger. Check out all his fine work on the baseball page, and I'm Eric Carabone. Enjoy the second half of the season.
Indeed, guys. Thanks very much, ESPN, chiming in on the baseball topics of the day. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. If you want to call and join the conversation, media sports talk from the National Football League, Major League Baseball, NBA, CFL. Yes, I said it. We're going to talk some CFL, some Canadian football. As you know, for the last few months, we've been broadcasting all over this wonderful North American continent. Cities like Calgary. We broadcasted from Vancouver. We broadcasted from, where did we go? Was it Montreal? Was it Montreal? Anyway, all over Canada. We've had a great time traveling all over. Down in the U.S., of course, based out of Chicago. We love our city. We took all kinds of wonderful, wonderful grief from our friends in the East Coast when the Blackhawks and Boston Bruins got into the finals. And I'm happy to report to all of you on the East Coast that I told you so. Okay. All right. I know that there is an ongoing ESPN East Coast bias. You know, you've had the success of the Yankees. You've had the success of the Celtics and the Bruins and all those great teams in the East Coast. That's great. But since 2010, and even now, it really comes down to talent in Chicago and talent in Boston on the world of hockey. That's not an indictment of the Los Angeles Kings. Great. But really, game six, you're up, and you find a way to give it away. And that, I know that hurts, Boston. I know that hurts. I know that stings all to be damned. I know it does. But if you were paying attention, you got outskated. You got outplayed. You got outskilled. That's all there is to it. For those of you in Chicago with your chest poked out right now, well, you should have it poked out right now. It's going to be hard to repeat, though. And Boston is going to be that much better. Just recently signing Jerome Iginla, who they got, you know, from Pittsburgh, you know, by way of Calgary. They're going to be really good. You know, Patrice Bergeron signs a big contract recently. Ilya Kovalchuk retires, wants to go back to Russia and spend time with his family. Completely understandable. So, anyway, more reaction to the George Zimmerman acquittal yesterday. None of it is remotely positive, so I refuse to share such, you know, perspectives and lambastations when we're talking about hurting people. It's amazing. I always tell the world that I have a superstar daughter. And that superstar daughter basically goes out on her Facebook and simply says, let God handle it. And I think in the midst of so many people who want retribution, want some type of justice for the Martin family, for the death of this young man who now seems largely just pointless. I understand that perspective. I understand that thought process completely. But I think my nephew Corey has it probably right in just saying all that complaining and bitching, you know, on social media isn't going to change anything. You know, we want to change something, we have to change it internally within ourselves, okay? I don't know what the motivation was. I didn't get a chance to follow the trial close enough to understand what the driving forces behind the decision were, okay? I heard some knucklehead on Nancy Grace talking about a guy allowed to carry a concealed weapon. He had a permit to carry a concealed weapon loaded to walk his dog. I don't know where he's going to go in the United States, but you can trust and believe that there are radicals out there that still are not satisfied with the outcome of this. They've not taken this jury's decision to be a final, you know, a final nail in the coffin and close the closure on this. There is no closure for the Trayvon Martin family. There certainly is no closure for Zimmerman as long as he walks the streets of the United States of America, because there are people out there now that just do not agree with this decision. And unfortunately, we'll try at some point probably to exact some level of revenge. Okay, let me show you how shallow this can actually get. Back in 2003, Cubs Marlins, game six, the old Bartman ball case. Remember the kid that was in the stands looking up at a foul ball? And this is a baseball game. Now, please understand that we're not talking about people. Moises Alou can't make this catch. Believes him down. If Bartman wasn't the way that he could have made this catch, and it would have made it somehow the greatest difference in the outcome of this series in this game. And maybe it would have. We'll never know. But because a fan looking up tries to catch a foul ball, somehow interferes and maybe changes the fortunes of what was obviously a better Chicago Cup team at that time, this kid is so vilified that he has to move, death threats, over a baseball game. So now fast forward. Here you have Mr. Zimmerman making what is certainly questionable decisions at a time, the loss of life, a trial, a decision in the trial, and a nation in largely turmoil. And you have youngsters from 10 to 20 years of age in social media saying, where is he going to go in the U.S.? He can't live, he can't take care. Too many people want his head. And the scary thing about that is they're probably right. They're probably very, very right. Now, it's a sad state of affairs. And I don't know that you gain anything by, you know, hopefully you searched yourself and if you're in that jury and you made the right decision, but just weird all the way around. I don't wish that pressure on anybody. There's no way that even remotely gets any healthier. Anyway, time to take a break. 23 past the hour in Middle Earth. If you're in Calgary, Alberta, it's 11:23. If you're in Chicago, it's 12:23. If you're on the East Coast, it's 1:23 in the afternoon. Hope you're having a good Sunday. What's today, the 14th? July the 14th, 2013. The year is flying by, which means we're that much closer, for those of you NFL fans, to strapping it on and getting it going. Adrian Peterson in the fall. The Chicago Bears under Mark Trestman have an offense that can keep their quarterback upright, and how much explosion is going to be added to that team. They've got some weapons. Can the Chicago Bears rekindle days gone by? And for those of you in the Middle Earth who are concerned, big-time Bears fans, the top 50 Chicago Bears are out. It's on ESPN.com. Please feel free to go check that out. If you know much about the history of the Bears, you can probably figure out who the top 10 are pretty easily. I'll tell you this, you'll be stunned by the top five to some degree, but that's only because maybe you don't know a little bit about the history, and there's nothing wrong with that. All right, back after the Kit Kat Challenge.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Cabby, here with the Kit Kat Chunking Challenge. Now, before we go on, I'm going to take on a challenge myself, which is to do the rest of this video while eating each new Kit Kat Chunky flavor, hazelnut, white chocolate, and peanut butter, which are in stores right now for a limited time. So, what is the Kit Kat Chunky Challenge?
Well, I'm glad you asked. If you decide to pick the next Kit Kat Chunky flavor, you can vote right now at www.facebook.com/KitKatCanada. And get a chance to win one of three unbelievable trips. So, in addition to your vote, we have three Big League fans competing in three ridiculous challenges. And the winner of each challenge gets 5,000 extra votes for his favorite new Kit Kat Chunky flavor. Amazing. So go try all three Kit Kat Chunky flavors now. Run on Facebook and stay tuned for some upcoming challenges. Wow, that was a mouthful. You guys don't need these, do you? No?
Cubs and Cardinals from Wrigley. Chicago would bang around Lance Lynn. Second inning, Dave Sappel going up the middle. Deano Navarro around with the lead run. Later in the third, Alfonso Soriano going up, up, and away. He has 9 home runs since June 28th. That's his 16th overall. Chicago at a 4-1 edge as Lynn gave up 6 runs, 5 of which were earned in 4 1/3. Bottom 4, Luis Valbuena. That's his 8th that comes with a runner on. Matt Garza went 6 2/3 for a 6th win and 7th decision. Cubs and Cardinals from Wrigley. Chicago would bang around Lance Lynn. Second inning, Dave Sappel going up the middle. Deano Navarro around with the lead run. Later in the third, Alfonso Soriano going up, up, and away. He has 9 home runs since June 28th. That's his 16th overall. Chicago at a 4-1 edge as Lynn gave up 6 runs, 5 of which were earned in 4 1/3. Bottom 4, Luis Valbuena. That's his 8th that comes with a runner on. Matt Garza went 6 2/3 for a 6th win and 7th decision.
Okay, guys, that was weird. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm looking at my guys. We just heard the same clip twice. I'm not mad at you guys. Look, it happens, man. It happens. Back on the ride, the fastest 60 minutes of sports you're truly Vinny Moore, doing what we do best, which is basically rock the world of sports, bringing it to you, to our friends all over the world. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We wish peace and love in your world. It is a tremendous, tumultuous, tedious world sometimes. It can get muddy sometimes. It can get crazy sometimes. If you can find yourself just getting to ground zero and finding you and finding a smile, you can get through just about anything. I will tell you, you can get through just about anything. As my little hand is raised in the air, my throwback of the cherished days. Speaking of the cherished days, at 28 past the hour, I need you all to understand that yours truly is very, very versatile. I have foundation in history in a lot of different avenues and venues, and I am looking forward to expanding my role not only in broadcasting, but also in ministry and other things in life. Yes, I'm a life coach. Yes, I believe in people. Yes, I believe in you. And I don't agree with everything that's gone on in our crazy little world. Certainly not. I mean, that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. However, when I tell you that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it, that is from the heart. I will get in more trouble with more people who care and love me by simply telling you that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? I'm probably there for more people than I need to be. I probably need to learn how to say no a lot more. But I did recently post a complete show. Again, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Someone, please show me, show Big Benny, show me how to enjoy this thing called life. All right? Because when bumps and bruises come along, and they do, and they come hard, how do you handle them? All right? I know how I've been able to handle it so far. I navigate the majority of it via my faith. And I let that be my guide. And I always go to find a smile and try to find someone I can put a smile on their face. Well, that was my rant for the day. All right. 30 past the hour. It's time for our blessed moment or our gospel moment of the day. And this comes 5 minutes from Patrick Dobson. He calls it Keep Me. This is our gospel minute.
Lord, I just don't know how to express myself to you. And sometimes he just says, just call upon the name of the Lord. He says, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so right now, can you just lift your hands all across this building and can you just begin to let the name of Jesus come off of your mouth this morning. Come on, all across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are Jesus. You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour, Jesus. You're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus. My hope and my future, Jesus. Source and my shelter, Jesus. You're my Savior, Keeper, my friend. Lord, I need you to take my hand and see me through. Whoa.
Say the name of Jesus right now.
Wow. What'd we lose? About 6 minutes? Good old fashioned power outage of some sort. Mike, do we know what happened? Something overheated. All right. All right. So my apologies for those of you for the last 5 minutes, from 22 down to 17 minutes left in the ride, or 19 left in the ride. Anyway. All right. Let's take a little bit of a pause for the cause. We're going to have some fun here, get some things cleaned back up here, fire some of these things back up that were lost during what apparently is an overheated something. Something overheated knocked us off the air for a few minutes. But my apologies to those of you who are hanging around, hanging out, and listening to us for the longest. We're here. just one of those things. And, again, technology does have a tendency to sometimes hiccup or blurp every now and then. So this was just one of those crazy times. So I apologize to those of you who have been sticking with it. And thank you for hanging out. Call me in a panic. Everything seems to be okay now as we kind of get things back going again. So it's like cause and pause. Here's a little, we gave you a little bit of the – it was supposed to be the whole God is everything moment, which, you know, that's my faith. That's how I roll. That's how I believe. I don't know. I'm left to believe that you got a chance to hear the Patrick Dobson song, and then everything just kind of went dead. So I'll tell you what. Take 10 seconds, get you a little bit of heavy, to get you a little funkiness, and then we'll be right back to wrap this thing up in the last 50 minutes. All right, roll with me. Thank you. Fast 60 Minute Sports goes on now.
Yeah, this is an untouchable funk, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is for all the players and the playettes. Where we at, you dig? I'm talking about from this side, that side, east side, west side, your side, my side. It's all about being funky, man. Hey yo, give me that microphone. It's heavy G, the baritone, and I'm home alone, biggie. And I'm always staying freshly dipped. So 1-2-5 with a dog's bark and a dreadlock, bitch, bark and split. Okay, it's heavy G again. Hallelujah, I'm on your TV screen again. You see me on your MTV and on your BET and on your local focal point video show. Nigga, the sound is low, so I like an eagle. No sequel, no equal. I get love from all the fucks because I'm a still my people. I'm dynamic, punks panic when they see me. They get all shook up when my mic's hooked up. Let's get it on.
Untouchables at your door. All your whack rappers hit the floor. Untouchables at your door. All your whack rappers hit the floor.
I bleed forever thugging on a quest to get G's. Running from enemies ever since the days of the sea. I'm under pressure. The stressor had me drinking, thinking niggas after me. Much too paranoid to blink. Wonder why the police don't want to see stacking G's. They ask for a flame, but I won't let them capture me. I gotta thank the Lord for the weed and the nicotine. I can't sleep, close my eyes and see wicked things. I keep my pistol by my bedside, one in the chamber, reoccupied with homicide. My life's in danger, rolling down the 405. Beware strangers, hand on my 45, that's what the rain does. I'm probably wrong, but I'll never know until I'm gone. From out the gutter where the jealous motherfuckers roam. Pass the weed, let that Hennessy get to me. Before the penitentiary, let's get it on.
Untouchables at your door. All your whack rappers hit the floor. Untouchables at your door. All your whack rappers hit the floor.
I thought you knew I stay true to this round thing I do. I have all the honey saying dope. I flip a style from the project building 70.
Hey, what's up?
Apartment 60. I turn food stamps to green stamps to grow power now. And so weed under corner lamp. But now I'm just microphone talking. So when you see my ass, have my cap, or just keep walking. Niggas got more game than Genesis. Seen a movie made in L.A., now everybody menaces. But them youths don't trouble we, because they fall victim to what they see, hey. I keep it real and real, like my last album title song. But I understand it takes a year for niggas to catch on. Hit them in the head, go. So let's get it on. Yeah.
With the Dutchies, full of the sunk, the doctor gets wicked in the joint. Notorious and glorious. Niggas know who's the mind blower, the weed grower. Have you seen doubles like Noah? The rhyme flower, B.I.G. Top rock with the clock, check your pockets and your sockets. Just the way my pops fuck me when you throw the drop, check them thoroughly. The bastard might spin around and try to bury me. And dead niggas don't make no moves. When I'm slinging in the hood, I don't fake no moves, alright? Reminiscing on my swinger days. When I drove a caddy and my bitch sported finger waves. Yeah, she had the Gucci boots, I had Cerucci suits. Oscars, Bagash, Coca-Cola looking real cute.
Junior Mafia representing Bucktown. Mac 11 top back, niggas better duck down. Face down, you know the routine, the cream, earrings, you know the drama Biggie bring. Let's get it on.
Untouchables at your door. Roll your whack rappers hit the floor. Untouchables at your door. Roll your whack rappers hit the floor.
Days gone by, that is Heavy D, Tupac, Biggie, all together in a track that probably wound up on nobody's CD, but I'm thankful to have access to such wonderful, wonderful talents and wonderful, wonderful music. Back on the ride, the Fast 16 Sports, as we winded down the last 14 minutes of this particular episode, sincere apologies to all of you out there who rolled with us as the power seems to have failed, and that was courtesy of something that overheated. Anyway, enough about that. We have not talked NFL yet, so why don't we do that? Here we go. Let's get it together, guys. Hall of Fame removes photos of Hernandez. I'm sure it's probably Aaron Hernandez. Jet Sanchez okay with Smith, still confident. Are y'all watching any of this stuff with the Jets player, the Pakistani-American Bushi, that apparently has been getting all kinds of crazy comments about being an extremist? And that's just, it's just odd. It's just weird. Now, we've got players all over the NFL getting DUIs, getting all kinds of personal things, and because of his descendants, because of his roots, where he came from, he is deemed somehow a potential extremist. Really? Now look, I know we allow people to express their faith in a variety of different ways, and we don't hold any particular set of rules where things you can't do next to hurting other people. Get a life, guys. Get a life. If there are very few people of American Pakistani descent that play in the National Football League. You've got a few, and they've been great citizens, and all of a sudden now you want to pick on one. This story floors me. It really does. This one floors me. New York Jets rookie offensive lineman Odeh Abushi, one of the few Palestinian Americans to play in the National Football League, was forced to defend himself on Friday against a website article that called him a Muslim extremist. Abushi, angered by the story published Tuesday by Front Page magazine, as well as other comments in response to the piece, "It is upsetting to see people try and tarnish my reputation without even knowing me," he said in a statement issued by the team. All backgrounds from the city and across the country. The Brooklyn-born Abushi, who now lives on Staten Island, was drafted in the fifth round by the Jets out of Virginia. He is one of just a small handful of Palestinian Americans to enter in the NFL, including former linebacker Tariq Saleh, former quarterback Gibran Hamdan, and former defensive lineman Nader Abdallah. Abushi told the AP in an interview in May that being a Palestinian American in the NFL was an honor, and added that for being able to kind of break that mold and sort of open the door for other people and show them that it's possible, it is a great feeling. As for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, he said, "I hope that both sides make peace and prosperity." That's it. That's his take. That's always been his take. For any knucklehead to make it beyond that or more than that is just blatant stupid. And for one of the Front Page Max, they should take ownership of this one. They really should. Absolutely, the public record suggests that Abushi is anything other than a young American athlete who takes pride in his Palestinian heritage. ADL Director Abraham H. Foxman said his participation in a conference of organized by the El Baras Society, a Palestinian community organization that was until recently defunct, should not be used to tar him as an extremist. Foxman added that being pro-Palestinian does not mean you're an anti-Semite or an extremist. The record simply does not show that the Abushi has crossed any line. The Jets, in a statement that they strongly believe in diversity, inclusion, and tolerance of others, while not directly addressing the issue involving Abushi, the team added that we also encourage all of our employees to use good judgment when exercising their rights to freedom of expression and speech to be certain that they're constructive and respectful. Bam. Kudos to the Jets for backing their boy. Kudos for him for standing up. Come on, man. Let's get real. That's a come on, man moment. That really is. All right. They should be ashamed of themselves. I know that they do things out of fear. It's simply out of fear. We need to wake up. We really do. What is this about Carlos Boozer amnesty? Hold on. Now, we heard about Meta World Peace 2 days ago. Amnesty gets him out of the Los Angeles Lakers organization. Now it's possibly going to Carlos Boozer. Huh. Bulls fans may want to amnesty Carlos Boozer, but the decision is complicated. Am I seeing this right? Dunleavy's coming to the Chicago Bulls? Hold on. Take a break on the NFL for a minute. We've got 10 minutes. Is that true? Mike Dunleavy Jr. admitted Wednesday that he turned down more money and security from other teams from Chicago along with Derrick Rose. It was a big factor, obviously. Dunleavy is a Chicago Bull. Oh, my goodness. Now, for those of you who have ever followed my career, I have never been a fan of Mike Dunleavy. This is Junior now. Daddy was a decent coach, but look, the kid can shoot. There's no arguing that. All right, the kid can shoot. 35.3% for three-point range. He's going to have to true that up a little bit. He believes he's become a better shooter. I don't know about that. He's comparable to the Ray Allen in terms of numbers. But he takes so many three-point attempts. Oof. He's another Kyle Korver. I don't know that his defense is any better than Korver's. But anyway. Okay, well, if Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose, it's not going to matter because Dunleavy will get plenty of shots of wide open looks at three. Make no mistake about that. So, enough about that. To the NFL. Your Chicago Bears in Middle Earth. My Chicago Bears here. The Calgary Stampeders. And we lost some time, so I don't want to kick the CFL out because we lost that time. All right, let's do some CFL if we can. All right. But first things first. Okay, let's see. Guys, we got to know we're scrambling a little bit here. That's okay because we're playing catch-up. We're trying to cram too much into a small window here. But I think we're going to be okay. Let's see. Stanford's contract won't affect this. Blah, blah, blah. Produced in Ontario. Players from the Canadian Football League going to the NFL. It's all well and good. Let's see. Mike Ditka's watched hundreds of quarterbacks in the day and believing that Aaron Rodgers is simply the best. Best NFL quarterback right now. Or seven of this year. Will Geno Smith beat out Sanchez to the quarterback? Not likely to happen. Winslow Jr. wants 100 receptions, focusing on him in the fantasy football world. By the way, for those of you who play fantasy football, it's going to be a fun season. If you can get your hands on Adrian Peterson, good luck, because he's going to be facing all kinds of different looks this year. I don't know if he's going to get close to 2,000 yards, but it is going to be fun watching him try. He is the hardest working running back in the National Football League. Make no mistake about it. And I'm a Bears fan, and I'll tell you to your face, no one works harder than Adrian Peterson, and he's in my division, and yes. It even stinks even worse that Israel Adonijay, who was a Bear for the last 3 years, has now signed with the Detroit Lions, solidifying their defense. It is going to be a tough division in the NFC North. But if Trestman brings what I think he's going to bring to the Chicago Bears, that offense is going to be fun to watch. Is healthy. That offensive line is significantly healthier. Matt Forte could have an absolute breakout season. The question will be on defense. Can they slow down Green Bay and James Jones and Aaron Rodgers? Will they be able to slow down Minnesota? Minnesota's got a little bit loaded on offense. And the Cardinals are in the West. They're going to be good. It's going to be a fun season this year. It's going to be a whole lot of fun in the National Football League. I don't have the day. Normally, I have the day in front of me. I think we're under 60 now until we get to the start of the season. But so for those of you planning bets and plotting already, I'm telling you right now, what is the greatest football movie that's ever been done? The greatest football movie ever. I'll tell you right now, ESPN ran this contest, and they did it in a in a bracket form. They pitted all these movies against each other, and they came down to two. The finals are simple. North Dallas 40 are participating with the best movie of all times. Varsity Blues was a ton of fun, okay? I enjoyed that movie. I barely remember North Dallas 40. I may have to go back to Netflix and see if I can watch that again, okay? But off the top of my head, Varsity Blues gets my vote. Best football movie of all time. Maybe we'll hinder on that next week as well. We should have some fun with that one. We really should. Two minutes left in today's dance. Love you, and there's really nothing you can do about it. No matter where you are in this world, no matter where you catching it. 619-699-4747. Best football movie of all time. That'll be the topic next week. The final will be decided by then, but I would like your perspective on that. I really would. So we do not forget what has been accomplished by our boys in Chicago. Here's your love for the Blackhawks. Today, Chicago Blackhawks, 2013 NHL Stanley Cup champions. It's as it should be, of course. To all my friends at the Buffalo Wanderers, friends here in Canada and all over the world, all the way to the Philippines, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Thank you all for being a part of us. We're going to wind us down with a little John Legend and Rick Ross. Who do we think we are? July 14, 2013. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next week.
On my Timberlands, stepping like a criminal, success is so imminent. Pink champagne, black Rolls Royce, eggplant, double breasted suit from Tom Ford. Bon voyage, left haters in the fall. Look up in the sky, bet you recognize a boat. Look into my eyes as I fantasize for us. Still acting shy like this is summer crash crush. Money coming fast, I'm never in a rush, no. Plus another 20 in a tuck. Send me in a truck, another 40 on the wrist. Bought a meal on my mind, got me living like I pitch. Dodge and Robin Gibbons, ballin' like I'm Roger Clemens. Still in a game uniform, all in it. She gets Chanel, ski trips to Vail. Only the highest grade, like trees that I inhale.
Everybody needs someone to look up to. Why shouldn't it be us?